We'll get into the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we will begin our reading this morning in verse 14, read verses 14 through verse 21. And do Priscilla, we're in Sunday school. Great crowd for Sunday school this morning. And just ask if you would go by our table, please. We truly, and I mean this, I don't just say it as a cliche, but truly we mean it. Our greatest support will be prayer support and by people praying for us. And I know that. I believe in a great God in heaven who's able to do all things. And he wants us to ask, seek, and knock, and I believe he's able, there's no doubt. God answers prayer, and the amazing thing that he can connect people all around the world through prayer, and you can be praying at a certain time, and you have no idea what's taking place. You've heard the stories, we've heard the stories of missionaries in our own church who are going through difficult times, and people praying for them, and at that right time when they needed it. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. I'll tell you something that God did for us last week. And of course we prayed, but I truly believe it's God's people praying for us. There's just no question. We were over Northern Ohio last weekend. And so we went over on Saturday and we were heading our way north and we stopped at a Panera Bread. Got to get a cup of coffee. Now it's free coffee. Got free subscription there. So I get free coffee, and I knew before we left the house, a couple of times I started the car, and it just started a little hard and kind of concerned me, so I just took off, and we got to the Panera Bread, went in, got a cup of coffee, came back out, and the car wouldn't start. It was dead, and I thought, wow, that's weird. I drove all the way here. You think it would have charged, but it's dead. Couldn't get it started, so I called the roadside assistance. It's got the sticker. It was a used car. I thought maybe that roadside assistance will work, but it expired last year, and tried to get a jump. Nobody had any cables. And so we just sat there, thought, okay, well, how are we going to do this? We prayed. But I fiddled around with some different things, and I pushed the button again, and the car started. And we took off and ran that thing the whole weekend. No problems. And I get home Saturday night or Sunday night, go out Monday morning, and it's dead. But it's sitting in my garage so that I can go get a battery and replace it. On Saturday, it tested good. Monday, it tested bad. And I've never had a battery go dead and come back to life. That's never happened to me ever. But I believe in a God in heaven who's able. And somebody was praying and got us where we needed to go for the weekend, got us back home. But I wanted to mount that battery. That is a resurrected battery. Like Lazarus came back to life, died, came back, and died. That's Lazarus right there. But they wouldn't let me because they had that core charge thing. So I had to give it up. But anyway, that's the Lord. And I thank God for answering prayer. So please pray for us. Take a prayer card, pray for us. And Ivy's back there. Sign up for our email. If you'd like to get an email, an update, you can subscribe to that as well. Let's stand as we read the scriptures together. Verse 14, the scripture begins, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Verse 20, just look at the phrase, ambassadors for Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word. Lord, these are the words of eternal life. They are life eternal. They are spirit. They are life. And Father, we believe and we are sure. And we declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And we thank you that we can declare that he is our personal Savior. And Father, I pray you'll speak to hearts this morning. May your word go forth with power. May your power flow through us as we yield ourselves to you to be used and speak to every heart. May hearts be open, Lord. If there's one here not saved, you know the hearts of every person. May they come to Christ today. Those that are saved, that claim the name of Christ and name his name, Lord, may we be sold out. May we truly understand we're ambassadors for you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to think this morning on the term as we think about and we put the emphasis as you have placed this month on missions. When we look at the expression, as Paul says, now, then, I believe it's a conclusion that has come to here that Paul comes to as the verses that have been above and the statements that he has made, the truth that has been declared, and has been nailed down as fundamentals. He comes to this point in verse 20, now then, because of all that's been accomplished, all that's been done, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Think of the word ambassador. Of course, we use that term. It's a term that is used in government, in our nation, and different governments all around the world. Every nation has their own ambassadors. And when you think of the word ambassador, it has its meaning, of course, explanation to it, but it means a representative, a representative. And as an ambassador, you represent a country. You represent what that country stands for, the philosophies, the constitution of that country. And more so than that, even further, ambassador will represent our country, will represent the president of the United States. They represent his views. They represent his political agendas. They represent that. Now, we understand in our own nation, not all representatives do that. Representatives are supposed to represent the ideals of that country and what that country stands for and the philosophies and that sort of thing regarding its government. But sad to say, in our government today, many have their own agendas and are trying to create something of their own or another political party and represent nothing of what maybe the country even stands for and the corruption that is even within. Sad to say, that happens a lot in what we would consider Christianity. We create our own agenda. People who claim the name of Christ represent nothing of Christ, of who he is. We create our own way of thinking and our own philosophies, our own agendas, and it's completely contrary to the message and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It happens all over the place. Here, Paul states for us very clearly, we are ambassadors for Christ. I want to take you to a scripture, if I could, to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. As the Apostle Paul is writing to these people of Philippi. And if you look with me in verse 20, look what the Apostle Paul says. Philippians 3, verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven. Now, the word conversation is a term that is used multiple times in the New Testament, which has a meaning to us as we read the word conversation. We think of conversing. We think of a phone conversation. We think maybe of an email conversation, text, whatever that may be, or just sitting down one by one, face to face, and having a conversation of speech. But This word conversation, if you were to look up the meaning of this word, it means citizenship. Citizenship. And so this scripture says our citizenship is in heaven. So as an ambassador of a particular government or of a country, that ambassador goes to all the countries of the world and they represent the ideals and the philosophies of that particular country. They live there. They maybe dwell there, not all the time, but some. But their citizenship is of the country that they are the ambassador of. They don't go to that other country and become the citizen, though. Their citizenship is here, as our ambassadors are that are ambassadors of the United States and to other countries. Same is true of us that are ambassadors of Christ. This is not our home. Just the old song we sing, but great truth. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Don't forget that. Heaven is where our citizenship is. We're citizens there. We are only here temporarily. We're living in a time where the world lives this way, but it's sad to say it's overflowed into the church and the local church where I truly people believe in the way they live and the way they conduct their life and plans they make and things that they do. They truly, I think in their mind, they think they're going to live forever. And they're not going to die. And they think they're going to live and live and live and live and live and just, this is it right here. No, I want to remind you, you're only here temporarily. Temporarily. Our citizenship is in heaven. Look what Paul says as he continues in the scripture. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He will come again. Verse 21, what will he do when he comes? Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is the victor, and I'm grateful I'm on the winning side. You are on the winning side if you know Christ. If you go back to our passage, as we read, now Paul put this in the minds of the people of Corinth because he was trying to encourage them in the area of their giving. He was trying to encourage them in the area of giving that gift, and he uses illustration of those of Macedonia who had given and given everything, even when they were living in poverty. They lacked, but they gave out of their poverty, understanding something. This here is all temporal. There's the eternal we have to think about. And Paul reminds them that if you look in chapter 4, look in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians, we're back at our passage in chapter 5, but look in chapter 4 as he says in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. To which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Paul calls it this, affliction. Now, you look at the Apostle Paul, I think you would find someone who truly was afflicted. You read his passages where he was in perils in the sea, in perils in the... He mentions perils, I think, 10 times of everything. He was destitute, left naked, no food, clothed and unclothed, and food and no food, and abounding and not abounding, and all that Paul went through, and stoned, left for dead. But Paul calls it this in verse 17, light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you go home today and you walk into your home, and we have a home in Greenville, we still are able to go back to that. I'm thankful for it. But that home's temporal. It's temporal. That car we get in when we leave today, that thing's temporal. It's going to last for a while. Whatever's in your bank today is temporal. It can be gone tomorrow. Things can change overnight. But I'm grateful for one thing. our lives can be invested in eternity and it will never be taken away, ever. Paul is trying to focus their attention on the eternal. So he comes to this point and reminds us in verse 22, now verse 20 of chapter 5, and I want to ask you this morning and to remind you, do you understand you are an ambassador for Christ? It's just not me as a missionary, not just your pastor as a pastor here, or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker. If you name the name of Christ and you will say this morning, I'm born again, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador of His. You represent Him. You represent Christ. In a sense, you are in His stead. Jesus said in one of the statements of the Gospel of John, when he went through the Gospel of John, John wrote it. Of course, John was declaring and stating the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And we have through the Gospel of John seven I am statements that Jesus makes to declare He is the Son of God. He has seven signs, they call, which are miracles, but seven signs in the Gospel of John to declare He is the Son of God, seven for perfection. But in that He says, regarding the I am statements, I am the light of the world. And He is the light. And I'm glad that we have been given light. And we see today because of Jesus Christ. But then He put it back to His disciples and those that were following Him. And He said this, ye are the light of the world. Now that we are here, Christ is gone. Paul said, we knew Christ in the flesh, but now we know Him no more. He is not here. We don't see Him visibly. He reminds them, you are the ambassador now. You represent Christ. You are in His stead. You are that light. You are that light in your workplace. You are there as an ambassador of His. You represent Christ. How well are you representing Him? You represent Christ in your home. Dad, listen up. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. Mom, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. Listen, young people, wherever you are at school, whether it's here, maybe the public school, I don't know where you go to school, but you are a representative. I represent Jesus Christ. Listen, what an honor that is. And what a responsibility. Humbling. I represent, you represent Jesus Christ. Do you understand that today? If you understand you are a representative, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, then I truly believe Paul gives us three characteristics here or three understandings that have been realized and have sunk in into your life. And number one, I believe if you understand you are an ambassador, a representative for Christ, then you understand, number one, a miracle has taken place in your life. A miracle. Verse 17, here it is. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, where in verse 20, I believe, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created. A new creation, a new creature in Christ. We heard the song before, you probably heard it, talk about the miracles of Christ, all that Jesus did on the earth, but these are all wonderful, great, but the greatest of all of these is when He saved my soul. That is a miracle that has taken place, that which you and I, deserved hell forever, bondage in chains, but we have been set free because of Jesus Christ and the bondage of sin, all gone, forgiveness of sin, the mercy that has been given, the grace that has been given. It's a miracle of God. If you understand you have been given a miracle and it has taken place in your life, you'll understand I'm an ambassador of His because you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. The fact that God healed me by His grace of the cancer that God, I believe, put in my life for a plan, had a reason. I believe He has a plan and reason for everything in our life. And when you hear the news of all of that, and a gentleman asked me this morning, what was my first thought? My first thought was my family, my wife, my kids. And the second, really, and I mean this, and I don't take any credit, please, but I really thought, Lord, please use it. Just use it. And God worked a miracle. He did. And He healed me. I'll tell everybody that. But the greatest miracle was when at the age of 6 years old, I bowed my head and I asked Jesus to save me. That's the greatest miracle. He set me free, gave me life, gave me purpose, gave me meaning. I can live today. I can live, not only physically, but it doesn't matter what happens here. If God takes me home, then I'll be with Him. What did Paul say? Paul came to this conclusion. Because he faced death. He went through all the afflictions he called light. But he came to this conclusion, and I don't believe we're ready to live until we come to this conclusion. Paul said, for to me, to live, it's Christ. It's Christ. It's, if God gives me breath, Paul said, it's all about Him. It's all about Christ. To die, it's gain. It's gain. Dr. Clarence Sexton said this, and I believe it, we're not ready to live until we're ready to die. We're not ready to live until we are ready to die. Do we understand what Paul said? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's a miracle that has taken place. We're created, a creation, this new person. The moment we trusted Christ, we were born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. There has to be that complete miracle of God's grace, of regeneration, of the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in us, and that whole new person being that takes place because of Christ. We're in Him. It's a miracle. If you've never received Christ, listen, there's only one way. It is through Jesus Christ, faith alone, trusting Him and His grace to save you, to give you hope, give you life. If you've never trusted Him, please do it today. Secondly, don't we understand? If we understand we're truly ambassadors, then we understand there's a miracle that has taken place. Secondly, we understand a ministry's been given to us. A ministry has been given. This sets the course of your life. This gives you purpose. Young people, remind you this morning, God has you here for a reason. God has you here for a purpose. In Nicaragua, it has the highest teen suicide rate. In Nicaragua, in all of Central America, it has the highest. It's a poor place. Very few get to a university. Very few get to a college. No money. And so the moment they're in school, and there was an article in a paper, USA Today, a couple years ago, and a school counselor was talking to a little girl, not a little girl, but an 18-year-old girl. Her name was Kamala, and she was talking to her and asking her, she said, Camille, she said, what is your goal? Tell me some of your goals that you have. Camila said, my goal is by the turn time I turn 20, I want to have committed suicide. By the time I turn 20. That's a goal. That's a goal. No hope.
Right.
No future. It's just dead. It's nothing. It's everything from the wars and revolutions. And it's just no hope. But the amazing thing is, you go to a little town in northern Nicaragua in the mountains, Maracapo, and small little church up on the mountain in the Bible college there, filled about 28 young people. Seven of those are girls that have given their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Came from the same situations. But the difference, Christ. They received Christ. When the miracle takes place, you have purpose. You have purpose. You have meaning. And here Paul reminds us, look what he says in verse 18. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. When you're without God, listen, you will go all of your life. There's a void in every person's heart that is in this world that only Jesus Christ can fill. And all the world tries to fill it with sin and pleasure and everything they can, and alcohol and drugs and this pleasure and that pleasure, trying to find something to satisfy it. But listen, it'll never be filled until you receive Christ as your Savior. Ever be filled. And it's when you come into that relationship with God through Christ. And here, as it says in the verse, Paul says this, we've been reconciled, made right with God through Jesus, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You're here in this church, we have different things that everybody does and opportunities for people to do. And that's wonderful. But every one of you that are saved, you have a ministry. You don't have to go to your pastor and say, Lord, what ministry can I do? They're all down every road right here in Jasonville, all over the place. That's your ministry. Your workplace is your ministry. School is your ministry. Wherever you are, it is your ministry, because there's people that need to hear of the miracle that's happened in your life and how Christ has changed your life. You are now representing Christ, and you're bringing people to God through Jesus Christ. That's your ministry. It's my ministry, not only here, but around the world. You say, I can't go there, but you can give to help people get there. All those missionaries on that wall back there, you invest in that because it's fruit to your account, and the spread of all of it is phenomenal of what God can do through mission effort. My wife grew up in a home, and her father was an alcoholic and a gambler, and that was all of his life, was all she knew growing up. And coming home, he would work, drive a truck all week, and come home and gamble all the money away and drink. And that was all of her life. And but her, she had a brother, her brother Jing, and now is a pastor in the Philippines, in church, Bible college, orphanage, and God has just used him greatly. Great ministry. But Jing got saved. And when Jing got saved, he led his family to Christ. Amen. My wife's here because someone led him to Christ. Her dad got saved. Mom got saved. And you talk of the spread of the multiplication by just one person leading her brother to Christ. Now the ministry that he's in, her family coming to Christ, our family now, our children, what God does through them, it never stops. Listen, this is the work. This is the ministry. I'm to be in. You're to be in. We don't have to go looking. It's right here. It's right here in this place. May God help us to get involved in it. Do you understand? If you know you're an ambassador, you understand there's a miracle. You understand you got a ministry. And then thirdly, you understand in verse 14, there's a motivation for it. There's a motivation for it. Verse 14, look at it. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Not my love. My love will fail. Your love will fail. It's the love of Christ. It compels. What the word constrained means, compels me. When I think and you think how much he loves me. How much he loves. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, would interview candidates for mission work. And he would meet with them as a group. He would meet with them individually. And he would ask them, what is your motivation to be a missionary? And they would answer different responses. I want to go because Christ commanded, and the Great Commission, and millions are dying and are perishing, and we love the people, we love the place, all of that. But he would say those are all good. But he said, there's only one motive that will sustain you in trial and in testing. Only one. The love of Christ. The love of Christ. That's why Paul said in Romans 12, 1, we all know the verse probably. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And then this next phrase, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That phrase could have just been left out. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, all acceptable to God, which is. But he added a motivator.
Right.
The mercies of God. Your pastor will preach, and he's been here for many, many years. And God bless you for that. But you will not do anything for Christ unless you understand and it sinks in your mind and heart what he's done for you. You'll go through life, I'm saved, I'm way to heaven, and just live life normal. But when it really sinks in, what he did for you, there's nothing else to do but say, Lord, I'm all yours. Look what Paul says in verse 15. That he died for all. Now look, I'm glad Jesus died. He didn't die for a select group. He died for all. All. That they which live, that's you and I, we're alive today, right? Everybody still awake? You may look like you're dead, but you're alive, okay? Everybody's living. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I'm going to be frank with you. We live not only in the world, but in our Christian circles, in our churches today. We are living in a time when people are very, very selfish. It's all about me. Me. My life. My time. My money. My family. Me. We get so self-centered. Listen, if you know you're an ambassador, you understand a miracle is taking place in you. You understand you have a ministry. And you understand there's some motivation behind it to realize he died for me. An article in the, actually it was in the alert that Brother Gibbs puts out. But it had a box there with some statistics about church attendance during COVID. And it gave the three different categories of the generations. Of course, the boomers. They're maybe the greatest generation. I mean, anybody here 80 or 90 years old? 90 years old? Any 90-year-olds in here today? Okay, that's what we consider the greatest generation. Then there's the boomer, baby boomers. That would be many of you here today. Among the baby boomers, we call them, that would be the time you were born between 46 and 64. The statistics regarding church during COVID, 40% stayed at the same church, just 40%. 26% stopped attending. 11% switched churches. Generation X, that's my generation, from 65 to 80, 1980, 31% stayed at the same church. 35% stopped attending. 17% switched churches. Then the millennials, 81 to 96. The millennials, 30% stayed in the same church. 50% stopped attending. 50%. 8% switched. Over half of the millennials stopped. Even the Generation X, 35%. Boomers, 26% stopped attending entirely. Where are you at today? Do you understand who you are in Christ? You're his ambassador. COVID or no COVID, we're still ambassadors. There's a miracle that's taking place in us. And the world needs to know. You have a ministry. And you have motivation. I'll leave you with this story by the name. His name was George Stott. A missionary that he was one of the other two after Hudson Taylor that went into China. But George Stott came to Hudson Taylor one day and he told him, he said, I want to be a missionary to China. I want to go. And Hudson Taylor looked at him and he said, well, I commend you for that, but I just have to ask, how do you think that a one-legged missionary is going to be profitable in China? And George Stott, when he was 19 years old, he had tuberculosis, lost his leg. And as he laid in the hospital bed at 19, and looking ahead of life, and no leg, one leg left, he was hopeless, dead, despair, desperate, just gave up on life. A man came to his hospital bed and told him about Jesus Christ. And George Stott that day accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and it changed his life. And as he later went to China, started churches, schools, printing ministries, orphanages, God used him and his wife Grace in a powerful way. But as he replied back to Hudson Taylor that day, when Hudson Taylor asked him, how is a one-legged missionary going to be profitable in China? George Stott replied and said this, well, I don't see any two-legged people going. I'll go. He realized Christ had done something in his life. Leg or no leg, what can I do for him? Everything you have today is God's. If you're saved, it's his. It's his. We only get to use it. It all comes from him. From him. Does he have everything in your life today? It's been amazing the people that God has placed in our life, and even those in Nicaragua, the pastors there. One that it means a great deal to us. He was one of the last pictures there, him and his wife. They just had a little baby, little boy. They have two little kids now. God put us in a truck. One of the last days we were there, and my wife and I, and double cab pickup truck. We were heading back down south to the ministry there, but we stuffed in the back seat. It was four of us in the back seat. Put Pastor Jose in the front and the driver, and Pastor Jose is a little bigger. I'm so skinny I can fit in the back seat. So anyway, so we sat in the back, sat my wife and two other boys in the back seat. We were tight. We drove out several hours to get where we needed to go, but God put that man, Jose, into our life just by putting us in the pickup truck. We got to his house, and we went inside, and he was the only ones that ever did this for us, but he went out and got a Coca-Cola bottle, got some ice, gave us a Coke, and it was hot that day, and he served us. He just served, and God put a special place in our heart with him, and we've seen him grow. We've seen his ministry, and was able to get him a car through a church here in Indiana, and God just really is blessed. But I'm looking forward to reminding him when we arrive. And I just told the other one, Stephen, that got the motorcycle. I just reminded them, God loves you. God loves you. Look and understand his love for you. The fact that God would put us into his life, that has nothing to do with me. That's just God wanting to show love to that guy. And to remind him in the middle of nowhere in a country, no one even knows him, but God does. And to give him a little motivation to remind him how much God loves me. Don't forget it. It's your motivation. It what motivates you. It compels me to go another day, another week, another year. No turning back. We're ambassadors.